listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It's your host of the most. How you doing tonight? We're gonna welcome a wonderful musical artist tonight for our show. Go Dodgers, by the way. And I'd like to introduce you all to Sandy Joe. How are you, Sandy?
Hi, I'm doing so well. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. And you know what? It's been such a cool experience to get to know you and get to know your music. Let me ask you a quick question. You grew up in Florida. What was the moment of Zen that made you fall in love with music and made you want to become an artist?
What is it that made me fall in love with music?
Yeah. Was it a song that played you? Was it seeing an artist on TV? What was it?
Well, I grew up, my love for music first started in Jamaica. I'm originally from Jamaica.
Awesome.
So in my house, it's a lot of Stevie Wonder, Celine Dion, Anita Baker. I really just started in Alicia Keys. That's one of my influences as well, Alicia Keys. But I think I first just always loved music. We play a lot of music growing up.
Right.
Also being in church, I was in the choir. So I think it kind of just stemmed from being in choir and going to church with my family, that I kind of just love music and wanted to be an artist from a kid.
Were you born in Jamaica?
Yeah. So I was born in Jamaica, but I moved to Florida when I was 9 years old. So I was living with my grandparents in Jamaica. Awesome. My parents were immigrants, so they came to the U.S., to the dream, the better life. And then I grew up with my grandparents, my uncle, cousins, it's a big house. And then I came to the States when I was 9 years old. And my parents really, really when they realized that I love music and I sing, they really pushed me a lot and just put me into everything that they could possibly do, just piano lessons and just getting used to performing. My dad would take me with him and be sing a song. So I'm really grateful that I had amazing parents.
Did they take you to family gatherings and you're like, my daughter sings, sing us a song?
Yeah, we would have shows at my house. So wow. On the weekends, my siblings and I would put on a concert at home for my parents. And obviously, I'm the lead singer. They're the dancers.
You're it's my band.
We would end up doing little shows at the house. And my parents would invite our neighbors sometimes in the living room. And I would just perform for them.
Did you ever feel shy in those moments? Or were you this is my moment, I'm going to shine?
Whether I was shy or not, my parents were you can do it, do it. So no, I think I was just really excited. I definitely had my shy moments, but I was very comfortable with my parents. And I just love singing and I wanted to showcase my talent. So and then my parents always kind of pushed me and made me feel confident that, I'm a great singer. So
that's awesome. My mom used to tell me that she used to take me to a grocery store, and all the cashiers would be they'd be waiting with candy, and they knew I loved to sing, and so they would ask me to sing commercials.
What?
And so I used to sing Coca-Cola commercials, and what? I was standing on the conveyor belt, and they would give me candy every time I did the Coke commercial. And my mom said I just was a total ham. I totally loved it. I'm like, I don't feel like I'm singing for candy. And that's just awesome that you tell me that story. I don't remember any of that. But it's just a funny thing. I think music's one of those things where it's something that the seed is planted early and we may not understand it, but it's like one of those things, like once we know it's here, then it's like our hearts grow as we find new sounds and find new artists that, you know, make us stop on our tracks. Who was that first artist for you that you were like, who is this and what is this? What is this all about? I need to know more about it.
We listen to a lot of Michael Jackson in my house.
That's amazing.
So, and my dad was obsessed with Michael Jackson. We needed to know every song. And I just grew up like watching a lot of him, even though our styles are obviously different. But I grew up listening to a lot of Michael Jackson. I grew up listening to like a lot of Mariah Carey. My mom loves Mariah Carey.
She's great.
Tina Turner.
Yeah.
Just seeing artists like that. But I think for more of like, I remember me getting the Alicia Keys Diary and hearing like more of like R&B. And growing up in Jamaica, we listened to a lot of Christian music. Like I would kind of like sneak and try to listen to secular music because my great grandma, and you needed to listen to like Kirk Franklin, like Christian music. So when I came to the US is when I really branched out more in like the R&B side and listening to like Tina Turner, Mariah Carey, Stevie Wonder, like artists like that. And then I kind of just fell in love with Alicia Keys here in Fallen. And I love the fact that she played. And then hearing Sade by her side. And I was just like, oh, wow. Like, so I think like those two are like my big moments, hearing those kind of songs. And like her singing and playing keyboard, and like Sade's just timeless. She's like very classic.
She's one of my favorites.
Her voice is like smooth and it's beautiful. And I kind of like dived more into like, what is this sound like? What is R&B?
And she's got a lot of island. She's got a lot of island background.
She does.
Right, you know.
Yeah,
she's got some Jamaican roots. I think either her father or somebody is from West Indies or Jamaica, I believe. But she's like one of my favorite singers. I love Jackson, Mariah Carey. Yeah. You can't deny she's just like thebomb.com. I actually saw Alicia Keys recently at the Greek. And in the middle of the show, it was amazing. In the middle of the show, we were sitting kind of like in the middle section of the Greek. And then in the middle of the show, she came and literally sat right next to us and did seven songs. It was amazing.
That's amazing.
This is incredible. This is worth the price of admission right here. So it was one of those moments where like, this is what music's all about. And so I love that you're influenced by really great artists like that. You know, it's like one of those things where, you know, when you're influenced by great artists, then it puts you in a place to create great music and great art. So
for sure.
I think it's awesome that your parents put those influences in your life, because that makes, you know, the trajectory of who you are as an artist also kind of like dig deeper. Once you have big roots like that, then you're like, I've got big shoes to fill. I want to make music that impacts people like this. What was that first moment where you started writing songs?
Oh, writing songs. wow. You know what? I just remember writing songs in my head when I was in Jamaica.
Because
I knew when I was in Jamaica that I wanted to make music that wasn't necessarily gospel music. And I was obviously young, so still trying to figure that out. But I didn't have like a laptop. I couldn't make beats. I just had melodies in my head. So I would literally just walk around and hum things and hum lines and make lyrics in my head. Wow. And then as I got older, I started putting more to pen, paper. Maybe when I was like, I think when I came to the US when I was 9, my parents really encouraged me. And I was like, okay. So I started kind of writing around there. I still have my songbooks to this day.
That's awesome.
Songs that I was writing, and I look back like, what was I thinking at like 10 years old? Like, what was I writing about?
But there's something about that writing. It's like stream of consciousness. It's like, there's no ego. It's just like for the joy of it. And there's something pure about that. So there's a lot of times where I go back to old songs and I'm like, oh, I just knew exactly the direction or what I was writing about, or the style, and I'll take things, or I'll kind of like give birth to, you know, give a rebirth to songs that were born 20, 25 years ago. So I love that you save all that stuff.
It's invaluable. It's definitely one of my favorite part of creating is definitely writing. Like, I absolutely love writing. A lot of the songs that I've released, I've literally written everything that I've ever released. Wow. I've only co-wrote with one person. And that's a song, Bedroom, that I had. But everything else I've put out, I've written myself. It's definitely one of like my favorite part about creating, because I get to express myself.
Yes.
And yeah. It's awesome. Also, I love it. It's like therapy.
When nobody's telling you what to write to, you know, it's like, writing what you feel. You're writing a song either about an emotion. It's usually an emotion you're going through, and then you're coding and then kind of expressing that, you know. So I love that you kind of use it as therapy, like you said, because music is therapy. I think especially as a writer, that like songwriting is therapy. That is our biggest, you know, therapist, you know. It's like to just kind of like channel that energy into something beautiful. I want to ask you a $1 million question. When you're coming from like a Christian background and the gospel background, or, you know, church music background, and then you start singing secular music, did you feel a little guilty at first? Because everybody feels like, oh, I don't know if I should be singing this kind of music because I came from this background. And I say that from my own experience too, because I learned from the church, and I was in a church choir, and I was in a singing group that ended up doing church music and beyond. And it was the beyond.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever this is, I want to learn more about. But there's a little bit of, there's part of it like, ooh, should I feel guilty for singing stuff that's not religious? Because this is what brought me into music. Did you feel any of that?
Yeah, for sure. I did. Yeah, definitely have felt like, you know, I knew that I didn't want to necessarily only sing Christian music. I really wanted to sing R&B and pop.
Right.
And I did feel guilty a bit that, you know, God gave me my gift and I should give it back to him with Christian music. But I am giving it back to him, but in a different way.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's okay, you know. And even with my lyrics, I'm kind of like careful with certain things.
Right.
That I say in my lyrics. So I did feel guilty, but I am at a point like over time where I think that you can still be a believer, you can still be a Christian, and it's okay for you to make R&B music. I don't think it necessarily means that just because you're making Christian music, that means you know, that you don't love God or that you're not strong in your faith. At the end of the day, he gave me my gift, and maybe I'm just using it in a different way, not necessarily Christian, but it could still inspire other people. You know, it could still help other people. I'm still telling a story. So I think that's fine. I think that's okay. And not to say that I would never put out a Christian album.
Right.
I would, you know.
Right.
I just make what I feel. And I think that's the gift that God gave me to make.
I love that.
How I feel.
Well, see, I think a lot of major artists have gone through this. Like,
yeah,
I remember Ray Charles actually had a huge, I mean, he was kind of a real big proponent of blues music and gospel music and having that gospel and soul sound become secular. And in a lot of ways, a lot of people were like, oh, that should be just for the church. And he was like, well, I think it should be for everybody. And I think it feels good. And so there's a lot of society that puts this pressure on artists where it's like, yo, that shouldn't be there. But every artist has gone through that, has learned about music through church or, you know, like any spiritual kind of gatherings. Cause you know, it's like people feel like, oh, well, this is not propelling religion or God or this or whatever you believe. And, you know, Robert Johnson, who was the founder of the blues, he also went through the same thing. He was making music that was not religious, and it was almost, it was considered devil's music. And it's not. It's like blues music is the biggest foundation of rock and roll, gospel, funk, soul, jazz, all of that.
Sure.
So it's really, I find it kind of, I find it really fascinating that artists go through this. Mm-hmm. When they learn about music through church, and church is the best way to kind of like figure out some of what music has to offer. And then it's like, once you learn how to spread your wings, it's amazing when you take those talents to secular music and incorporate jazz and you incorporate soul, R&B and rock and blues and all this great music that, you know, I think actually has more of a reach in a lot of ways than just Christian music or gospel music or any kind of like, you know, religious based music. Not because it's going to only hit the people that are in those religions, but I just feel like people can relate to emotions about love and love songs so much. And I think it's universal, and then the message becomes much bigger than one religion over another. And it's really like, I think, one thing that brings people together. So I love that you kind of...
Love is definitely something that brings people together.
It's like, what is, if somebody was to ask me, like, what do you write most about? It's love. There's no
me
question.
Too.
I feel like love is like why we're here. It is the direct channel of music. And I feel like it's also the direct channel to whatever the higher power is. And like love is like always the answer, and it's always what inspires us. So I feel like as long as you come from that place with whatever you're writing and whatever you're singing about, and whatever you're feeling, then it can't be wrong. And that's what's beautiful. It's like, you know, I think you should always feel empowered by that. And I hope you always do, because I know the hard ways to break family circles a little bit, or old traditions or like old beliefs. And a lot of it is challenged by tradition versus love. And fear versus love and things like that. So I love that you're kind of exploring this new way to write and express yourself. And it's kind of like creating this whole artist landscape for you. There are a lot of current artists now that you are drawing from like as you are like living the artist life? Are there artists right now that you're like, oh, I'm compelled to listen to this person? Makes me want to write better songs.
There are a lot of artists now, actually, that I really like their music. I draw influences from. It's so hard when people ask me, like, who's your favorite artist? I have so many people that I draw influences for, and it doesn't necessarily need to be the same style. It's just maybe something particular. It could be maybe from the artist, the way that they write or the way that they are as a performer. There's just so many things that I draw inspiration from, but I feel like the artist now that I think really like, I love Jasmine Sullivan. Her voice is amazing. I love her storytelling. I love her. I think she's super, super talented. I've seen her live before. I think she's really dope. I love Janae Aiko. She's very, I love the way she carries herself, her persona. I also like her writing. So I'm a fan of hers, and I recently fell in love with Leon Thomas. I think the guy is so talented. So I like him as well.
I love that. I love that you're kind of like, you have your finger on so many different.
I have so many different. There's Coldplay, there's SZA, there's the list literally goes on and on. Like, there's a lot of like artists right now that I feel that I draw inspiration from. So I would say, like, along the lines of like those artists and many more.
I love that. And I saw that SWV is one of your influences. How did that come about? Was it your parents? So I'm like,
it is.
Tell me, there are one of your groups. I remember when Right Here came out, I was like, oh my God, I love this song.
I like that song.
So good.
Love the Week, Rain Down on Me. I did a cover for her for that one as well. But I love them as a group. Their voice is amazing. I haven't seen them in concert, but I know that they are touring, and I would absolutely love to go see them. But they are definitely one of my favorite female groups.
They're amazing. That is one of your influences. Like, what? That's my
generation. I blame my parents.
No, great.
My dad had like a huge shelf with CDs at the time. So I would just go down there and pick a CD and just listen to a bunch of things. Or, you know, they had like LimeWire and stuff you can just like download. So yeah, that was.
I did all of that. It's like, pretty much. I feel like it's one of the explorations of music when you go through your parents' record collection.
And yeah. Then
if you have siblings or cousins or older relatives, they start influencing your music tastes. And then it's like you start exploring your own from your friends. And then you start kind of like having, it's like you just, you know, kind of do your research as to what moves you. And you start realizing that your music taste all of a sudden has different generations and dimensions that are pulling you in all different ways. And one of my favorite things is when an artist showcases their music and you can tell what their record collection looks like. So do you kind of like listen to sounds and say, oh, I want this to sound like this, or I want it to have the same kind of beat as this? Like, how do you draw from art that you are influenced by to write music of your own?
Yeah. I think it depends on my mood. It depends on the mood, what I'm going for. Maybe I'm in a mood where I'm listening to lots of like 90s kind of slow lovey-dovey vibe. And I'm like, you know, I want to make like something similar. But yeah, kind of like that, like I hear a beat and I'm like, wow, this is really cool. Maybe I could even do a little remix with kind of like my own twist to this. Or if I'm listening to a lot of pop records, I'm like, I kind of want to try something. I do have a sound and I do have a style, but I don't really like to categorize myself as just doing one sound and one style. Yes, I love R&B music, but right now I'm like, you know what? I kind of want to make some like pop R&B. I made an EDM song a couple months ago with an artist in Taiwan, and I hopped on it and it sounded really great. So I kind of just like exploring and pushing myself and doing things. And I think it also makes it very interesting for the audience. They're like, what's next? You know, like, what is she going to do next? And it's fun. I don't want to just keep making the same music over and over. The point is to grow and to, I think that's what being an artist is, just thinking outside the box. And I just like to make what I like and make what I feel.
Yeah. No, I love that. And it's what's funny. It's like when I'm writing music and when I'm kind of like figuring out what to do on a record or a direction, I'm always thinking like, what excites me about music right now? And it is always so different. It could be a 60s sound in the soul realm in one dimension. And then in one other direction, it could be, oh my God, I love 80s synth pop, or I love 80s rock music, or I love 90s rock and alternative music, or I love funk music from the 70s. I mean, I'm always trying to like incorporate those sounds into whatever it is. But it's also like really cool when artists are doing that with pop music, because I'm like, oh my God, I know what you're listening to. I love that you're making something new that has this sound. Like the Dap stuff has like a very Michael Jackson kind of direction. And, and you have artists like Pharrell Williams and people like that kind of like pushing the boundaries of what pop music can be, but also using it with influences that we all know and love already, like a Michael Jackson or a Stevie Wonder or somebody like that, you know? So I think it's important. Let's play something. What do you want to play us? What song of yours do you want to play? Artist choice.
So. Alrighty. Well, I just dropped a new song. It's called Danger on Me. So I could play a snippet of it.
Okay.
That's my newest single that I dropped this month. And it's more of like a pop R&B vibe. We literally recorded this at my apartment. That is my favorite way to record.
Awesome. Like
when I'm just vibing and cozy.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited for this record. It's doing pretty well so far. So I would say
there's a whole Bruce Springsteen movie out right now about him recording a record in his bedroom on a 4-track. So it's a historical record. And it's like, I didn't know that he recorded it on a 4-track in his bedroom. And it was so fascinating to see that for me. Cause I'm like, oh my God, he's doing what artists are doing now, but he was doing it years ago.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, awesome. The name of the song is called Danger on Me.
Danger on Me.
Here is Sandy Joe with Danger on Me.
Touchdown in a lake and know exactly where I'll go. Let's not play it safe, no need to wait, just let it flow.
Awesome. Oh my God. What a tease. What a tease. So tell me what inspiration, obviously this is about love in a good way. Tell us like what inspired the song and the sound.
So I was making some kind of like chill R&B vibes, and I was just in the living room with my producer and I was like, I'm tired of making like chill R&B. I want something like a little bouncy, like a little groovy that I can like sway to. And so he just started messing around. He plays instruments, so he plays like keyboard, he plays guitar, and everything. And we have our friends that play bass. So yeah, we're just vibing out, drinking tea in the living room.
Awesome.
And I'm just walking around, we're hopping around, and he kind of had a loop that he was playing. He started something and he just started looping it, and I literally did the whole top line in one take. I just listened to it and I knew what I wanted. And then it was definitely one of the fastest songs I wrote. I just kind of had this little danger on me. And then just kind of like had this little melody. And yeah, it's very sensual. It's just like about, I was flying up at some point a lot doing like shows, and it's just about like, you're off your flight and you just want to see your baby and you want to have like your intimate time together. And it's just, that's kind of what it is about. Like danger on me. Yeah. Your body, my body having like, having a good time.
Making music. Well, that's what we'll call it. Yeah. I mean, it's like, what's great is there's something about music that is about either seduction or love or just the excitement of a new love or excitement of dating somebody, whatever it is, there's something about that is just one of the coolest places to write from. So I love that it came out the way it needed to so fast. And some of the best songs come out like that too. You know, mm-hmm. I love the sound. It's very like playful, but also like funky.
Yeah.
And so like had a groove. Like a groove is so important.
Yeah.
But it was also really current. Tell me, how did you kind of like want the direction to be? How did you kind of collaborate on what the sound should be? Because if he was making the beat and you're doing the top line, were you kind of like both kind of pointing in the direction together?
We're vibing together. I'm in a space now. I'm always about elevating and growing. So I recently started taking dance classes.
Awesome.
And I was more so the artist that, you know, you have the mic and you sing, and I have my producer that plays for me. Very chill vibe. And I'm like, I want to elevate. Like I want to do something else when I do shows. I want to like pop out, and I want to be playing and then pop out. I'm like, whoa, she's dancing. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So I started taking dance classes for the past like 6 months. And I told him like, I want to make some, let's make some groovy stuff, some stuff I can do like little 1-2 step.
Yep.
So yeah, we were using, he uses Ableton or Pro Tools. So he just was playing the keyboard and then just piecing it everything together. And we have great chemistry. We've been working together for about 10 years
awesome.
Or so on music. So so we're very familiar with each other. He knows exactly what I like. And we just mesh very well. So we're normally at like a good page with our music.
Do you guys talk about, like, he probably listens to different things than you got than you're listening to. Do you often talk about like, oh, I'm listening to this sound and oh, I'm listening to this artist and oh, to do something in this direction? Like, I mean, because that's kind of how the best songs and artists are born. It's like when you have people from different kind of backgrounds saying, oh, this is what I think is happening right now. And then you're like, oh, that's cool because it sounds like this thing that's happening in this direction. And then a new sound kind of develops. Like, I love when something happens, you know, because it's like organic and it's like simple and it's fun and it's like easy to access, meaning like, oh, you hear that song, what you just wrote. It's like, it's so accessible to people. It's like, yeah, of course, it's playful for the ears. Like, oh, yeah, this is ear candy. Oh, this is cool. Yeah. And it just, like, makes you want to move. So I love that you're taking dance lessons, too, because Michael Jackson, a little fun fact, he actually got to a place where he wanted to write music he could dance to. And that's write the Thriller and write Off the Wall and Dangerous and Bad, all these great albums. It's because he just wanted to write songs he was – crazy about dancing to, which I think is the coolest because at the end of the day, it should be about fun and exciting music that you want to boogie to. You know, it's like, it's infectious when you see people dancing. Now, when you're taking dance lessons, are you taking like group dance lessons where you're doing routines or are you kind of learning like solo steps so that you can do things when you're performing?
Yeah, so I'm in a program right now. It's called DNA. It's called Developing Next Artists, which is quite interesting because, you know, I feel like these days that doesn't really exist too much. Like, you know, before they used to have artists and they used to develop them, but now the record labels, and if you want to get signed, if you want any of those things, you need to be already developed. And then sometimes when you're not, you might make a hit, but you might not be prepared to do your live shows. You might not be prepared after the hit, you know, then what? So, yeah, so I found myself in this program. I auditioned, and I kind of have been doing that for the past 6-7 months. So it's a group, but then I'm also taking, preparing for a big show that we're going to have at the end of this year. We're going to be performing possibly a festival. And so I'll be performing there along with some other artists. But so I've been developing myself just in all, like, I want to be prepared for everything.
I mean, that's smart because that industry of developing an artist, it's sad that all got cut from labels. It's like the budget started getting cut because labels weren't making money on records. And so it's like, artist like development got, it was cut first, and it's a shame because it's like that is where artists grow right there. It's like when you cut artist development, then it's like, okay, you're forcing artists to have to do this part of the business that is not something that everybody knows how to prepare for, and then you just get like you know, these artists that don't understand how the business works. So I love that you're taking these steps to kind of be more ready for whatever you can throw at you.
Yeah, just like, staying ready. I've already have performed. I mean, I've performed overseas, and but I think it's just I've never had stage direction. So that's kind of what I'm developing, like stage direction, being on stage with artists, with dancers, knowing your cues, like, you know, how to maneuver on stage when you have dancers and lights, camera, action. So it's a lot of those things. So that when I get to my moment of my next big stage, that I'm just like, you know, more prepared.
You know, I'm referencing Michael Jackson a lot because you mentioned him, and I also am a huge fan of Michael. And he used to have the choreographers when he was doing the Bad videos. He would learn all of the dancers' choreography, and I find this super fascinating. Yeah. So the choreographers would come, and he would say, "Show me all the dancers' choreography." And so he would learn every step that the background dancers were doing. Why did he do this? Because he knew where he would have a moment to do his spins or his little moves, like little breaks. And I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. Yeah. Kind of like a guitarist knowing what chords you're playing over, and that's where you're ready to solo. I'm like, that's brilliant that he would do that. They would do that extra work that most people wouldn't do. And I just think it's one of the coolest things ever. Because if you're taking dance classes, that's a little footnote. And when you see the videos, you're like, oh my God, he's doing all these cool like moves. And then you're like, oh, now I know why he's doing it. Because he knew every step that every day. It's just cool. It's just like,
I think Michael's a legend. Because to sing and dance, it's like a whole other, it's a whole other level. So that's what I'm going through, singing and dancing right now, which is different, but I love growing. I love elevating. I told myself, I want to do more on stage. I just don't want to be behind a mic or like a keyboard. I want to do more. So yeah, so that's kind of like my next, what I'm working on like right now for my next show.
Well, it's also, it's going to change what you're creating too, because like once you get, you know, when I think music is, I think it's in your heart, it's in your soul, it's in your body, your voice. And it's like, once you kind of get all of those things kind of in unison together, the power that you possess is you're unstoppable, because like you really have a direction, because you know how you want to make people move, how you want to make music move you, how you want it to make it sound, and how you want to be the sound that creates the grain of that sound. You know what I mean? So it's like all those things. So I love that you're thinking in this way, because how all these great artists did too, you know? You didn't mention reggae music being an influence coming from Jamaica. I have to ask you, because I'm fascinated with reggae music. Tell me why, or is it like, because you're from Jamaica and you spent the first 9 years of your life there, like, oh, I want to do everything that's in the U.S. Tell me why that wasn't a major part of your sound.
That is so funny that you asked me. Because I know, because I have friends who have been dying to get me on to do like a reggae record. Or to like bust out the accent and do something. But yeah, you know what? Honestly, like, I'm not even sure. I think, you know, I grew up there. So yes, I've listened to a lot of reggae artists. But I think if I would have any, like, there actually isn't any new artists, I'm sorry to say this, that I'm like, really am a fan of. Like, I don't know, the music with reggae, like right now, like the artists that are coming out. I don't know, I've always just kind of been drawn to like R&B music more than reggae. Yeah. Now, do I love reggae music? Yes, I listen to it. But it's just not what I, it's just not the style that I
well, I can relate to that, because it's like, I'm Indian and I don't make Indian music.
Yeah, it's just not.
No desire to make Indian music too. It's like, it's not because I don't love it, respect it. It's just like, I'm drawn to other styles. Yeah. So I can relate to that.
And to be quite honest, I really dived into music when I came to the U.S. because when I was 9, because I didn't, I couldn't play what I wanted to at my grandma's house.
Right.
I didn't really hear a lot of, I didn't really hear like certain things or like, I'll play music, it's too loud, you got to turn it down. Sorry, great grandma. She's no longer living with us. But it was really when I came here, I really started to dive more into R&B, and it really was from my parents' influences. And I didn't really hear, my parents would play reggae, but from what I would gravitate to a lot is that they would play a lot of like R&B, a lot of the artists that I told you. So yeah, I just never really gravitated towards it.
No, I had to ask, because I think reggae music is so cool.
It is.
Because I don't come from Jamaica, I come from India, I'm drawn to reggae music because it's so different, you know? So it makes sense, because that's also for me, because I always think, because I have so many people in Indian culture, they're like, oh, do you do Indian music? And I'm like, oh, no. And they're like, oh, what's that? I'm like, I do like rock and funk and African music and reggae. And
I don't even have the accent anymore.
I don't either.
I don't even have the accent.
But that's a cool accent. It's a cool accent, but that's all right. Let's play something else. What do you want to play next?
I will play, I did a live version to Wonder Where You Are. So we could play, I mean, the live version, the online version. But yeah, I'll play Wonder Where You Are. It's one of my songs on my EP. I had an EP called Sometimes I Wonder. It's definitely one of my favorite EPs. So it's the second EP that I've done, just completely different from the first one. And it's pretty much telling a story of, like, complications in a relationship, the highs and lows. And one of the songs is called Wonder Where You Are, where I wrote in New York. I was missing someone at the time. And I actually did a live version to it that I sent to for Tiny Desk. Unfortunately, we didn't. We didn't win. But it did really well. It received great response. So
awesome. Yeah,
it's called Wonder Where You Are.
Here's Wonder Where You Are by Sandy Jo. Was solid.
Thank you.
You know, I have to tell you, every time I see the tiny desk winner, I'm never impressed. I always see so many more slamming artists than they choose. That was way more slamming than the winner that they chose.
That's what I thought.
You know, it's, but it, this is the thing. All this shit, I mean, I'm sorry to swear, but it's all political. You don't know who's greasing the wheels and who's making these decisions and what their background is, how much they know music. It's just jive, because I know like 10 people that are great musicians and artists who submitted slamming videos. And they didn't get picked either. And then I see the winner and I'm like, this is what you did? Did you hear these other 10 artists that were phenomenal that I know are better than the artists that you picked? It's just weird. So don't get dissuaded. Don't get, you know, don't get down about stuff like that. I'll tell you from experience, the success comes from a lot of doors being slammed on you. And the more that they get slammed on you, that means you're closer to success. It's weird to say that, but let me tell you, Lady Gaga got, you know, she didn't get where she is now because of not having failures. L.A. Reid didn't sign. He didn't sign her. He said she doesn't have the it factor. And then he got fired. He got fired because the label said, you missed one of the biggest new artists, and you're supposed to be the guy that knows the biggest new artists. And it happens, you know? So I think that's what makes artists so badass, is the resolve to keep going because you believe in music more than what anybody else who has the power and has the keys believes. So I say, just keep going, because that song is dynamite. I mean, the band sounds great. Your vocals sound great. The song is great. One of the things I love about R&B and pop right now is the grooves are very much the same. And then it's up to you, the songwriter or the melody maker or the singer, that has to direct where the song goes, where it changes, where it elevates, where the ebb and flows are. Is that like one of the things that you feel in the moment where you're like, oh, it needs to have a change here. It needs to do a thing here. It needs to go to this place. When you're writing, what is that place? And what is that instinct that you kind of feel like when a song needs to kind of have a lift or not?
I think it depends. I mean, for me, sometimes when I hear the beat, I kind of just do a top line on that. But I'm a very big on like the hooks.
Yeah, I can hear it.
I feel like the hook needs to be, you know, it needs to be like very solid, catchy, but I don't want it to sound cheesy or like TikTok or anything like that.
Right. Yeah, I'm glad you said that.
Like I don't want it to sound like that. But I think that like that is like a pretty solid elevation. And when it first starts off to the verse, because the verse like captures people. So I always try to make the verse, even just the first line, like what am I gonna say when I even first open up my mouth? Like what is that line?
Right.
So those are some of the things that I think about. And yeah, if the beat is already made and I'm flowing on it, and if I feel like there's something missing, like I will communicate to the producer. Be like, hey.
You're like, we need to change it.
I feel like we need to change.
It's what's happening in pop music. I think it's fascinating because it's like pop music now has less changes. So it's up to the melody to do this lift, and it's up to the production to follow that lift. And I think kind of cool, because it's taking a shift. It's doing less and doing more at the same time. And I kind of find it super fascinating, because it's like it has to be melody based or it has to be production based, and it has to like have this ebb and flow between the two that works or it doesn't. And it's like, I just think it makes like people don't realize. I can't stand when like a jazz musician or a classical musician or anybody says, oh, that pop music, it's, you know, it's easy. It's like, go ahead and write me a pop song. Let me know. Because It's like, I think it's one of the most fascinating and hardest art forms to create in, because it literally means popular music. So that means you have to write something that everybody will think is a slamming melody, song, production. And you usually have to do it with less elements and less building blocks than what classical music or jazz or
funk.
You know what I mean? Using. So it's one of the things I think is very fascinating about it. That's why I had to ask. I'm like, I think that instinct is kind of like very powerful, knowing when you know something needs to go somewhere, when you can know you can sit on something. Because, you know, Sia's got a great song called A Million Bullets. And I was listening to it and I was like, man, this is such a great song. Why do I love this lift? And all she did was the verse an octave lower, and then when she sang the chorus, she did it an octave higher.
Okay. Wow. Makes a difference.
And it made such a difference, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, she sang me the chorus melody right under my nose the whole time, and then just did a lift of the same thing an octave higher, and it has more power. And it was such a simple yet sophisticated move. So I just love when pop music gives you those little things that kind of like were right under either your nose, or it makes you think, oh, that sounds so much simpler than it is. And it's like, actually, it's layered. So many things about it that look cool. So very cool.
For sure.
You mentioned SZA as being an influence. Tell me how her music and sound, because I kind of find her to be like a trailblazer in the R&B world. Like, she does things very different than a lot.
That's what I like about her. Actually, you know, I love her writing. I love how she talks in riddles. She talks in riddles and analogies, and it's not super straightforward.
Right.
So I've kind of just been trying to study a bit about her songwriting a little bit more. I think she's a great artist, and it's crazy because she herself have been trying to get into the music industry and have had so many no's until she finally got a yes and broke through. But I like her. She was like, what, contemporary?
It's crazy. To work in the music industry and they can't see something great.
Right?
It's just like, but that's the music industry. I mean, I've had it happen to me many times. It's like, I even had people in early days, like, say, oh yeah, that song will never go anywhere. And then it's like, okay, I'm gonna prove you wrong. And then it gets placed in a movie or it gets, you know, radio airplay. Okay, I'm glad I didn't listen to you. I listened to me. I know is good music, and that's so much of it. So I hope you never stop following those instincts and just keep strengthening them, because you're gonna need it in this industry, because it's a crazy circus full of people that have no business working in it.
I
agree. But it's the truth, and you know it. All right, let's play something else. What are you going to play next?
So the next one, this song is called Moment. Moment. I'm going to send you the video. This song really is what got me to perform overseas. My producer is actually Chinese and Japanese, and he has a platform that's different than American platform. And we would make music and post it on the platform in China. And that gave me the opportunity to perform alongside with him and another one of our friend, Astro Guillotine. He came along with us for 3 months.
Very cool.
And it was because of the song. So this one is called Moment.
Here's Sandy Joe with Moments.
I want you to stay. How about we just live? I needed exposed. I'm not a guest no more, I'm in your fridge. Hand on your breast when I'm all in your ribs. Look in my eyes and you find me, you know I get lost when I'm in it. My track of time is off when I'm with you, I was turning a minute. You not the typical type, you get racks and it fit me just right. You need me, put some dick in your life. This that dough keep on hitting the pipe. Stroking you good after all you so bad. Cause this moment is all that we have. It's been a while, but you know what they say about bikes. You hop on and ride out your life.
I hope we just live in this moment. It'll be okay. I want you to stay.
You are amazing. Sandy Jo, your songs are infectious and just
thank you. Where
can people find you if they want to find you online?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram under Sandy Jo Music. My Spotify and Apple Music, just type in Sandy Jo and then yeah, you'll find me everywhere.
Wait, aren't you Sandy Jo Music _? Isn't that what your handle is on?
Yes, Sandy Jo Music _.
There you go. Ah. People don't know because otherwise they're going to look it up and be like, wait, what? Yes. No, you're
here. Yes. You're
on your handles. It's all right. It's all good.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thanks for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. We're going to have you back in about 9-10 months. So remember the songs you played. And I can't wait to hear more music from you. You're just amazing. And let me know when you're playing the show. I got to come see you play. You're amazing. Yeah,
for sure. And same for you, too. Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
All right. Well, check out Sandy Jo's music. She's amazing. She's awesome. On behalf of Sam, myself, and Sandy, we'll see you guys next week. Love and take care of yourselves. And go Dodgers!
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.